Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a topic I think we can all relate to, strategic networking.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a really insightful piece from Forbes.com, written by Rekha Thomas, a Forbes Council's member. It's titled, Guide to Strategic Networking, How to Build Connections, Not Just Contacts, and was published just last month.
Yeah, and what immediately grabbed me about this article is its focus on, well, substance over surface. It's not just about amassing this huge digital Rolodex, you know.
Right.
It's really about cultivating meaningful professional relationships. And the piece kicks off with a pretty compelling statistic. While employee referrals might be a smaller slice of the hiring pie, their success rate is remarkably high, something like 40%, according to JobVite.
Wow, 40%.
Yeah, that really speaks volumes about the power of those, you know, deeper connections within a professional sphere.
It absolutely does. And it's not just about landing your next role, is it? Thomas also points to data from SHRM's 2024 Talent Trends report, noting that a significant chunk of employers actively use referral programs.
Okay.
Plus, you know, in today's flatter organizational structures where we're all collaborating across different teams, knowing the right people, even outside your direct department, is becoming, well, increasingly crucial for effective problem solving and making a real impact.
Precisely. The days of that strict top-down information flow are kind of fading. Now, your ability to influence and collaborate often hinges on the strength of your connections across various departments.
Makes sense.
So for you, the learner, our goal today is to extract some truly practical strategies from this article. We want to help you move beyond just like collecting names and titles and really start building a network that genuinely fuels your professional growth.
Yeah, without it feeling like another full-time job.
Right? Exactly.
Okay, so let's unpack the first key idea that really stood out to me. Thomas challenges this traditional notion that networking success is all about the sheer number of contacts you have, you know, the endless meetings, the constant stream of emails. She calls these vanity metrics.
Vanity metrics. I like that. It's a powerful point. We're often bombarded with advice on growing our network, and the implicit message can be bigger is better.
Totally.
But the article smartly redirects our attention to the quality of those connections. Think about your own experience for a moment, the learner. Have you ever looked at your like extensive list of connections and realized you could probably count on one hand the people you truly have a strong professional rapport with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This article offers a really valuable shift in perspective, I think.
It's so true. It's refreshing, moving away from how many people you know to the actual depth and substance of those relationships. And this leads us perfectly to the next crucial element, the power of giving first. This isn't about, you know, transactional networking, keeping score of who owes whom. It's about proactively reaching out and offering value before you have any specific needs yourself.
This, I believe, is really the bedrock of authentic relationship building. When you approach networking with a mindset of contribution, thinking, how can I add value before what can I get? It fundamentally changes the dynamic.
It really does.
And the article provides some really tangible ways to put this into practice.
Exactly. Simple things like congratulating someone on a recent promotion or achievement, just a brief, sincere message can make a real difference.
Mm.
Or acknowledging a personal accomplishment they've shared online. It just shows you're genuinely paying attention and, you know, care about their successes.
And these gestures don't require a huge investment of your time or energy, right? Sharing a relevant article or resource that you think someone in your network would find valuable is another fantastic way to offer help without expecting anything back.
Good point.
Or, as the article suggests, if you notice someone navigating a career decision, simply offering to be a sounding board can be incredibly meaningful. It's just about being present and supportive.
It really does flip the script, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The underlying principle shifts from, what can this person do for me, to how can I be helpful to this person? Thomas emphasizes that this fosters genuine, ongoing relationships built on mutual support without those immediate expectations.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a time early in my career when someone I barely knew shared a piece of advice that completely changed my approach to a project.
Mm-hmm.
I never forgot that.
That's precisely the kind of positive impact this approach can have. It builds that reservoir of goodwill.
Right.
Okay, moving on. The article then highlights the fundamental importance of finding common ground.
Right, common ground.
It might seem obvious, but identifying shared interests is such a powerful way to connect with others on a more, well, human level.
It really takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Instead of feeling like you need to constantly steer the conversation towards professional goals, Focusing on shared interests allows for more natural and, frankly, engaging interactions.
Definitely. And the article offers some practical strategies for uncovering these shared interests. Active listening during conversations is paramount, truly paying attention, asking follow-up questions, showing genuine curiosity, and leveraging platforms like LinkedIn to see what content people are sharing and engaging with can give you valuable insights into their interests and priorities too.
Absolutely. It's about doing a little bit of homework, I guess, and approaching conversations with genuine curiosity. When you're meeting someone new, what are some of your like go-to questions for finding those points of connection?
Good question. I often find it helpful to ask about recent projects they've been particularly passionate about, or maybe any interesting articles or books they've come across lately.
Okay.
It lets people talk about something they're genuinely invested in and can often reveal those unexpected shared interests.
That's a great approach. Now, the article then delves into the idea that when it comes to networking, quality trumps quantity, a theme we've touched on. But here, Thomas really emphasizes the strategic allocation of your time and energy.
Exactly. The article advocates for intentionally focusing your efforts on cultivating a smaller number of deeper, more meaningful connections, rather than, you know, spreading yourself too thin across a vast but ultimately superficial network.
Right.
It's really a question of prioritizing depth over breadth for more impactful results.
And she suggests a really practical first step.
Yeah.
Tapping into your existing network. Coworkers, former colleagues, even alumni from your school. These are often underutilized resources because you already have some level of familiarity.
Precisely.
Yeah.
There's often an existing foundation of trust and shared experience there that makes deepening those relationships feel more organic.
Yeah.
However, the article also acknowledges the need to expand your circle sometimes and discusses proactively reaching out to individuals you don't have a direct connection with.
Right. And that can feel intimidating for some people, I think.
Mm.
But Thomas suggests leveraging mutual acquaintances for introductions, which can often provide a warmer entry point. Or even reaching out independently. But she stresses the importance of doing your research beforehand, understanding their work, their interests, and being prepared to offer something of value in return. It's definitely a two-way street.
Yeah.
Think about someone you admire professionally but don't know well. The learner, what's one small, well-informed step you could take this week to maybe initiate a connection?
That proactive yet thoughtful outreach is absolutely key. It demonstrates genuine interest and respect for their time.
Totally.
And building on that initial connection, the article underscores that it's not a one-time event. Consistent engagement, those strategic touch points, are crucial for nurturing and strengthening those relationships over time.
Yes, maintaining that regular connection is vital. Thomas suggests that this consistent engagement is often easier to implement with your existing contacts because you already have that shared history to build upon.
And these touch points don't need to be elaborate or super time-consuming. The article gives some excellent examples. Sending a quarterly email or message just to check in, suggesting a monthly coffee or virtual meetup if the relationship allows, or even something as simple as acknowledging birthdays or holidays.
It's about staying top of mind in a genuine way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Recognizing important professional and personal milestones, and also just staying informed about mutual interests and career developments.
Yeah.
It's not just about reaching out when you have a specific ask.
Exactly.
What types of touch points have you found to be most effective in your own networking?
Well, I found that personalized messages, ones that specifically reference a recent achievement or maybe a shared interest we discussed, tend to be the most well-received.
Okay, yeah.
It shows you're genuinely paying attention and not just sending some generic outreach email.
That makes perfect sense. Finally, the article addresses a really critical aspect of networking. How to effectively ask for help when you need it. Because, let's face it, having a strong network can be invaluable when you're facing challenges or pursuing new opportunities.
Absolutely. Building those authentic relationships, like we've been discussing, creates that foundation of trust and mutual support. It makes it much easier to reach out for assistance when the need arises.
Yeah.
And the article offers some really valuable guidance on how to do this effectively.
The first point is so important. Be clear and specific about what you need. Don't leave it up to the other person to guess. Ambiguity can just lead to inaction or misunderstandings.
Specificity is absolutely key. The article provides great examples, like asking for advice on navigating a career transition or requesting an introduction to a particular contact at a specific organization. This makes it much easier for the other person to understand exactly how they might be able to help.
And it also demonstrates that you've given some thoughtful consideration to your request, right? Thomas also offers some practical preparation tips, like ensuring your LinkedIn profile is current and professional. It's often the first place someone will look.
Good point.
And having a concise personal elevator pitch ready so the person you're asking can easily and effectively advocate for you if needed.
Hmm.
Have you ever found it challenging to clearly articulate the kind of help you were seeking?
Oh, definitely. I think sometimes we can feel hesitant to be too direct, maybe. But in reality, clarity actually empowers people to support you effectively.
Right.
It removes any ambiguity and allows them to provide the most targeted assistance possible.
So to kind of bring it all together, our deep dive into Rekha Thomas's guide really reveals that building meaningful professional relationships isn't about the size of your contact list. It's truly about the quality and depth of those connections.
Exactly. By prioritizing that mindset of contribution, actively seeking common ground, investing quality time in fewer, more significant relationships, establishing consistent and genuine touch points, and learning how to clearly articulate your needs when the time comes,
mm-hmm.
you can cultivate a network that truly supports your professional journey in a sustainable and, importantly, authentic way.
And that brings us to our final thought for you, the learner. The article wisely advises us to start small and be genuinely ourselves in our networking endeavors. So consider this. In a world just overflowing with online connections, what is one small, authentic gesture you can make today to deepen an existing professional relationship?
Ooh, good one.
It doesn't need to be a grand sweeping action, just something thoughtful and personal.
That's a really powerful question to reflect on. It takes this often abstract concept of strategic networking and grounds it in a concrete, actionable step you can implement, well, right away.